the toad. Waiting, wondering is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have... Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Veronica Monet, and we're still live Monday. Just want to let you guys know we're going to be introducing a brand new version of the Shame-Free Zone. And it's going to be on the adult channel here at BBS Radio. And that starts this Monday. This Thursday, the 11th at 8 p.m. So it's going to be an hour earlier than this program. And for a couple of weeks here, we'll probably be doing both shows, but at some point I'm going to switch things over to the adult channel. So, what's the difference going to be? Well, we're going to be talking a little more plainly about sexual topics. It's not going to be gratuitous, but like, for instance, I want to bring on some people to talk about things like BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, some fetishes, things that maybe we've shied away a little bit from on this particular station. So it will still be very classy, but I hope maybe a little more informative. Anyway, let's pick up where we left off last week. I was telling you a little bit about my life as an escort and was answering questions about sex. So I actually just finished up a documentary, spent this entire week filming a documentary for Blue Chip Films. They are under contract with the Women's Entertainment Network. And I just did this documentary for The Secret Lives of Women. And I'm not sure when this is going to air. It's probably going to be sometime around end of January, first part of February. But if you want to get notification of that show so that you can tune in and watch it, just go over to sexwithoutshame.com. That's www.sexwithoutshame.com. And click on the newsletter. You can enroll in the newsletter, or not enroll, but subscribe to the newsletter. Real easy. It takes you about two steps. And then I will be able to send you out a notification for when you'll be able to see the programming on television. And there will no doubt be some online resources as well. Speaking of programs that are online right now, you might want to check out CNBC's Dirty Money. I hate the name of that. I would have named it anything, but this is their ongoing series. It's called Dirty Money. And they just interviewed me about high-end escorting. So that program's actually been out for about a month, but they're playing reruns, and you can check your local listing to see if it's coming your way and when it might be airing. And if not, you can just go to the Internet, look for CNBC's Dirty Money, and they've actually got little downloads and a slideshow. And that's actually a fairly decent little web presence that the show has. Anyway, that's what I've been up to lately, and the program that I just did for the Women's Entertainment Network is going to be about domestic violence, and I draw heavily from my own life in this story, talk about my childhood, my parents, the days back in the 80s when I was doing drugs and alcohol and got into quite a bit of trouble with violence. And then also what it was like to be clean and sober and married as an escort, and some of the trials and tribulations of being married and under those circumstances. So I'm not going to give it all away here. I'm going to invite you to either tune in or stay tuned for the memoir, which my agent is busy shopping as we speak. Okay, so let's go to the questions here. We had talked about, I'm horny but want to go to heaven, help, which I think that is just so well put. These are actual questions that people have sent my way. And then we talked about PE. PE is short for premature ejaculation. And we talked about the various different ways that you can try to prevent premature ejaculation. We talked about using condoms. We talked about masturbating before you have sex. We talked about using the squeeze technique. We talked about conscious breathing techniques, et cetera, et cetera. And then last week, we talked about I'm having difficulty letting go of whatever still holds my body incapable of orgasm through cunnilingus. And there we discussed a lot about sexual abuse issues, which comes up quite a bit for women, unfortunately. That's often a reality for a lot of women. Don't necessarily have to have been raped or even molested as a kid. There are still abuse issues that women deal with just because the relationship with sex oftentimes is a little less than healthy. A lot of times there's a feeling of being taken advantage of or pursued or somehow or another forced into or coerced into, manipulated into doing things that you want to do. And that can make it very difficult for women to let go and feel perfectly comfortable in their bodies. So here is the last question that I have listed on the website. If you are logged on, you're probably there right now, bbsradio.com, the shame-free zone. Last question at the end of the page is, last year, my boyfriend cheated on me. He did not tell me, and from there, things got worse. And this was a female viewer or listener who had written in with this question. So I get asked this question a lot because working as an escort, I had a lot of clients who were married and a lot of clients who had girlfriends, and they came to see me, almost never told their girlfriend or their wife what they were doing. Now, there were some exceptions to that. I can remember one time when I got a thank you letter from a wife who had been out of town, and she came home, and her husband was very sexually aroused and in a great mood, and she wrote me a letter, and she said, thank you so much for rejuvenating our marriage. My husband could keep his hands off of me, and I have you to thank for that. Yes, believe it or not, sometimes that is a side benefit of introducing a third person into your bedroom. And it doesn't always have to be a third person there simultaneously. Sometimes you can see a professional, and it will add sparks to the bedroom. In their particular case, they had an open marriage, and she wasn't experiencing any feelings of betrayal because he hadn't betrayed her. So that's pretty cool when that stuff happens, but by and large, that's not how most people have their marriages arranged. For the most part, there is usually something duplicitous going on where the person is saying one thing and doing another. And I've, you know, people always ask me, well, didn't you feel bad, like you were deteriorating these married people's relationships, and I mean, sometimes I did feel bad, and I didn't like the fact that I was being a party to this. On the other hand, and you're probably going to think this sounds like a pretty hilarious excuse, but I really do think because I was offering a public professional service that wasn't necessarily my job to be policing people's behaviors. And I often relate this to if I were selling food. probably would not tell people if they could or could not buy the food or eat in my restaurant based upon whether or not I thought they had, heart disease or diabetes or issues with being overweight. It would be kind of insulting, in fact. You know, if you went into a restaurant and they refused to serve you because they thought you were overweight or, maybe had clogged arteries. And we kind of, as grown-ups, like to be able to make those decisions ourselves. So I really felt that part of my job as being an escort was to respect adults' free will choice and their ability to make their own decisions. I was married the entire time, and I wasn't lying to my husband, and that was the relationship that I thought, you know, I had made agreements, and I wanted to keep those agreements, and if I had violated the agreements that I had with my husband, then I would have thought that was unethical. But as far as seeing other people's husbands, again, in my opinion, they're full-grown adults, and they can do whatever they want to do. I'm not in charge of policing that. But I have to say, as far as clients who were lying to their spouses, it's difficult for me to have a lot of respect for that behavior, because obviously it's not behavior that I myself engaged in. I can remember a client who was very upset to find out that I was married, and he made no secret about the fact that he was married, and he was coming to see me without his wife's knowledge or permission. And I shared something about my husband, and he got very upset, and he wanted to end the session right then and there. And I said, well, I'm not sure I understand why you're so upset that I'm married. I mean, you're married too. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's completely different. And, you know, he's right. It was completely different. He was lying and I was telling my husband the truth. But anyway, hypocrisy. I guess, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. In my case, I really felt like I had a great deal of integrity because the person I had married knew everything and could trust me to tell the truth. So, the question that I hear over and over again is, people want to know, how can I tell if my spouse is cheating? And the answer that I have is, you can't. So that's not usually what people want to hear. They want to hear tips for how can I catch my husband, and so I'll know that he's seeing an escort, or I'll know he has a mistress. That's kind of a gendered description there. Like, I think women are worried that their husbands are cheating on them a lot more than men are worried that their wives are cheating on them, which statistically doesn't bear much fruit, because men and women are tending to have affairs at a very similar rate. Men still cheat more than women do, but not by that much. At this particular time in history, women are quickly closing that gender gap and becoming just as dishonest and unfaithful as men have been. So, we're talking about a good, 40 to 60%, depending on whose survey you study. And yet, that gendered perception persists. So that when I get asked these questions about infidelity, it tends to be from women. And if you confront a man and ask him if he's worried that his wife or his girlfriend might be cheating, he seems to usually have a false sense of security, like, oh, no, she wouldn't dare, or, yeah, I don't think she's that interested in sex. Or I've heard a lot of these things from the very same men who were cheating on their wives and their girlfriends. They would have this attitude that somehow or another, oh, no, my wife would never do that. And that's amazing to me. But anyway, so as far as perceptions go, men are kind of not really up to speed yet, don't realize how many women are cheating on their partners. And women worry about it a lot. So I think maybe, women have grown up seeing their mothers hurt by infidelity, if in fact word got out that way, or certainly we all have had a girlfriend who's been cheated on at some time. So anyway, here's the reason that you can't tell if your partner is cheating. It is really easy to lie about. Very, very easy. I can tell you some of the things that the men who came to see me, obviously I had very few female clients, maybe about 6 in the entire time that I worked, which was about 17 years. Maybe 6 women came to see me without husbands or boyfriends. And most of those were lesbian, but they actually were 2 straight women who came to see me. You know, they had been like, one woman had just had a baby, and she was feeling unattractive, and she wanted me to make her feel beautiful. And another woman was, I think she was kind of getting even with her husband. She thought he was having an affair, and so she wanted to have one too. So and what I thought was particularly interesting is both of these women were unemployed, and they were spending their husband's money to come see me. So I think they took a certain amount of perverse pleasure in that, that he was paying for the escort he didn't know that they were seeing. But whatever the case, the vast majority of my clients have been men. And when I first started doing outcalls, I mostly saw single men. And that's because there's very few married men that are going to invite an escort into their home. And usually they're not going to get a hotel or a motel in their own home city, you know, where they reside, because all that stuff can be tracked very easily. So they're more likely to engage in something called in-calls. When I started doing in-calls, then I started getting the married clients. And I went from probably only 30% of my clientele being married to about 90% of my clientele being married. And it was really interesting. I would make myself available from, like, 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, or I tried different hours. Sometimes I'd try 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. I'd just, you know, try to experiment and see which hours are popular. And almost all of these clients who wanted to come to my apartment for an appointment wanted to see me between 11 and 1, which was the lunch hour, and then again sometime between 4:30 and 6, which was basically on their way home. And there were a lot of things that I had to do that I had never had to do in outcalls, because when you see single guys, they don't care if you wear perfume, they don't care if you wear lipstick. But married men are very concerned about that sort of thing. So they would always ask, you know, please don't wear any lipstick and please don't wear any perfume. They would sometimes want to take a shower afterwards, because they were still afraid that you might have left some odor on them. And others were afraid to take a shower because they might have, the back of their neck might be wet, and then their wife would ask some questions about why it seemed like they had just had a shower. So some of them actually had a ready-made excuse for that, and it was all about going to the gym. They say, well, I went to the gym, that's why I'm sweaty, or that's why I just took a shower. That's why my hair is wet. So, yes, they thought about these things in great detail. And escorts usually keep facilities so that men can take showers, and oftentimes a hair dryer, so they can dry their hair, too. So there is this big push to try to work an appointment in to what little free time the man might have and not get caught. And really seriously, if you are bent upon doing this, you don't need even a full hour. A lot of married men would be able to get whatever they wanted done in about half an hour. Or sometimes, pitifully enough, 20 minutes. So anyway, you know, they're in, they're out, and then the next one's there. And that's fortunate, because if they all want an appointment at 5 o'clock, it's, you know, very difficult to try to work them all in. Anyway, That's the scoop on that. If your partner doesn't want to get caught, they're not going to. So if you are suspicious and if you're starting to worry that your partner might actually be cheating on you, here's the good news. The only reason that you have any inclination in that direction is because your partner is probably hoping to get caught. And I'm not saying that they've got a conscious desire in that direction, but probably more of a subconscious one where they're frustrated. They wish they could talk to you, don't know how. Maybe they want out of the marriage or the relationship and don't know how to broach that topic. And so getting caught cheating is going to somehow or another make their life easier. And so they will mess up, you know, leave a phone number in their pocket, lipstick stain on their collar, a little perfume on their neck, come home late without an explanation, you know, whatever. Those sort of things where you start getting just that yucky feeling that something's going on that you don't know about is usually because your partner actually wants you to find out, wants you to confront them. So it's going to be a real rare occasion where you will have this intuitive feeling that something's going on and wind up being wrong. Now, of course, you could be paranoid. And if you tend to be a paranoid person who's maybe a little, you could be like a hypochondriac, or just find yourself often thinking the worst and finding out that you're wrong, that, you know, instead something really good is happening, well, then you should know that about yourself and know that just because you are obsessed about your partner cheating on you doesn't make it so. However, if for the most part you feel like you're a pretty even-tempered person, not given to flights of fancy, and don't usually go looking for trouble, and you've got a nagging feeling, it's probably going to feed back into that old axiom, where there's some smoke, there's fire. And you probably are having that feeling for a reason. So some suggestions of what you can do if you suspect. This one is always the last one that people do, which is you could simply go to your partner and say, I've been getting this intuitive feeling that something's going on that I don't know about. I'm concerned that you might be having an affair, and I wanted to talk to you about it. That's like really difficult to do, of course, when we're all upset and afraid and sad and mad. And however, if you can express it as an I feel statement instead of a you, like I know you're up to something and you don't do this and you don't do that, then you're more likely to get somewhere with the conversation. Anything that starts off finger pointing and using the words you is going to end in disaster, because the natural human response is to become defensive. So even if your partner did want to get caught and really would like to have this conversation, they're just going to go reactively into the defending themselves and lying. It's kind of human nature. And they might do that anyway, even if you do an I feel statement. But anyway, I'm just talking about things that might increase your odds. There's a couple different, you know, profiles of people who cheat. Now, you know, a lot of the clients that I saw were cheating because they were not having any sex at home, or their partner had stopped enjoying sex and it felt kind of like a obligation instead of the adventure that they, you know, they wanted to be a romantic adventure and something beautiful and fun, and now has just become a boring obligation. And sometimes that happens because couples aren't talking about the real issues that are affecting their relationship. And by the way, just in case you do have any questions about infidelity, you can just give me a buzz over here. Toll-free in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'd be happy to offer, you know, any kind of solace or at least help you kind of find your own truth in the situation. Okay, so, you know, one of the things that I should say is that my husband cheated on me. Now, this is before we really established the idea that we were having an open marriage, and it was actually before we had gotten married. And that probably, for him, made it seem less like cheating. We were living in separate households. We were engaged to be married. And he was having an affair with another woman. And I think part of what was going on for him was that he was trying to make sure that he really did want to follow through with the marriage. And sometimes people get really scared, you know, have fear of intimacy comes up and all this stuff. And I had told him that I would much rather that he would just tell me, you know, the truth about his sexual behavior, and that I could really handle almost anything, you know, if he wanted to have sex with other people or have an affair. You know, we could talk about that, but I really can't deal with dishonesty. And yet, he chose to lie. And he lied repeatedly over the course of 2 years. So he kept lying about the affair long after we had said I do. And this was really painful for me because I just knew in my gut that he was lying, and I didn't want to think that my husband was lying to me. We'd just gotten married. I knew we were both very much in love, and I couldn't imagine how anybody who would care about me could do something like that to me, because I just thought it was so disrespectful and cruel to tell somebody that they're crazy or that they're imagining things or they're making a big deal out of nothing, when the fact is that you're just trying to dodge the truth and get by with some pretty despicable behavior. Now, obviously, if I'm working as an escort, and I believe in open marriages, I don't really have a problem with people having sex with other people. It's just the lying part that I have a problem with. I think that lying is a form of theft. If you have an agreement with your partner, whatever it is, like you can only have this kind of sex with other people, or you can't have sex at all with other people, or if you have sex with other people, you have to use a condom. Whatever your agreements are, that is what your relationship is based upon. And when you violate those agreements, then you're putting your partner into a relationship they have no knowledge of and have not agreed to be in. And that has rather severe consequences if you're talking about safer sex, because if your partner has agreed that you are both going to use certain safer sex standards if you have sex with other people, and then you violate those, you're subjecting them to health risks that they have not agreed to and never signed up for. So that's a huge violation, and that's a form of theft. You're taking something, you are taking a type of relationship away from your partner that they did not give you of their own free will. So, you know, we trust each other, we open ourselves up to each other, we have unprotected sex with each other, and we do this thinking that we know the terms under which this relationship is transpiring. And I think that's really important, you know, and we should be able to renegotiate from year to year, from moment to moment. Our needs change, who we are as people changes, and if you really do want to have a long-term relationship, I think the only way that you're going to be able to do that is to be able to renegotiate the terms of the relationship as time goes by. Otherwise, you are pretty much going to find yourself doing serial monogamy, which is what most people do. They go from one partner to the next partner to the next partner, so that as they and their lives change, they find a new partner to fit that change. I personally would rather renegotiate the terms of the relationship with the same partner. If it's possible, it isn't always possible, but to me, that's preferable, because then you end up with a long-term relationship that goes through all kinds of incarnations, and that can have its own appeal. It can be fun. So anyway, how did I handle, you know, I kept asking. I never really stopped asking if he was lying to me, because my intuition, my gut, just wouldn't let go of it. This feeling would not leave. And it was painful for me, and I really wanted the truth. And eventually he broke down and said, okay, I lied. And, you know, of course I knew that, and yet it's an interesting thing that we do to ourselves when we are trying not to hurt. You know, on some level, we know what the truth is, but we don't let parts of ourselves know what the truth is, and it still stings and burns like it's a brand new piece of information. And, you know, I cried, and I was very, very hurt. And again, for me, it wasn't that he'd had sex with somebody else. It was that he had lied to me repeatedly over such an extended period of time. After we got past that and really did negotiate the terms of our relationship, we negotiated for an open relationship. I was only seeing clients. He was allowed to see other providers, prostitutes, if you will, or we both could negotiate to have sex with other people if we came to each other and talked about it. Mostly we didn't. A couple times, he did see a girl prostitute. I even paid for it a couple times as a Valentine's Day gift or a Father's Day present. I know. This probably sounds pretty out there for you. But it worked for us. It worked for us, and kept things really fresh and exciting. And I don't know. You know, I learned how to fill this thing called compersion. You may or may not have heard of compersion. It's a term that was invented by people in the polyamory community. Polyamory means many loves. It means that you have more than one person in your bedroom, maybe. Not necessarily. You may only be sleeping with one person, but you have many people that you consider your family. And this actually has a lot to recommend it. People can share household tasks. They can share child care. They can share problem solving. You don't have to get everything that you need from one human being. But the concept that the polyamorous came up with of compersion is about transforming your jealousy into genuine caring for your partner. So instead of, you know, going off on this tangent of, oh, my God, I need to own you and control you, and if I can't own you and I can't control you, then, you know, I'm going to lose my mind, it gets flipped around and becomes more like, you had a wonderful time with this other person, and because I love you, I celebrate you having a wonderful time. And the only way you can do that, of course, is if you've got exquisite self-esteem and you feel really good about yourself and you need to feel secure in your relationship with your partner, that they really, truly do love you above all other people. And then that makes you more able to be generous. You can allow your partner to have other friends, other lovers, without feeling threatened. So, of course, that's not for everybody. But that was something that my husband and I had in our relationship. But whether we are able to have sex with other people besides each other, and whether, you know, that worked for us or not, cheating, the concept of stepping outside of the confines of the agreed-upon relationship, and that's what cheating means to me. It means that we agreed upon the rules. It's just like if you were playing a game when you're a kid. You know, you all agree on how you're going to play a particular card game or tag or hide-and-seek, whatever games you played when you were a kid, there were rules that you agreed upon for that particular game. And when another person violated those rules without getting the consent of everybody else who was playing, we usually say, that's not fair. And we feel like kicking them out of the game. And so those feelings are pretty common to everyone, regardless of whether you have an open marriage or a closed marriage or not. Because it all comes down to betrayal. None of us wants to feel betrayed. If you think that your partner is cheating on you, again, I'm recommending that you actually confront your partner and just let them know how you're feeling instead of pointing fingers and telling them it's, you know, you're certain or you know, or presenting your case like I've been doing all this investigation and this and this and this and none of this adds up. That's how I always wanted to do it. You know, it's like, I know you are because you said this and then you said that and then you did this and you did that and none of this makes sense and so therefore I know you're lying. And I can't say that ever got the truth out of my partner. What eventually got the truth out of my partner, I think, is just the fact that he was having a guilty conscience, and probably because I was persistent in asking. I never stopped asking. So, and it's up to you. You may decide you don't want to know. If you don't want to know, then, you know, you can stop worrying about it. But if you need to know, then you can broach the topic with your partner and try to construct it so that it's actually safe to have a discussion that's open and honest. And sometimes self-disclosure is a really good way to do that. If you have cheated, you might start there by confessing. And if not, maybe you've had some thoughts or desires, and you could open that up by being another human being with your partner and saying, you know, I have sometimes entertained the thought of doing this or that, but haven't actually done it. But, you know, I want to talk about those type of feelings and see if you've had any of those type of feelings and have you ever acted on them. And I know that, you know, these are difficult conversations to have with somebody that we're emotionally involved with because, you know, most of us get pretty angry and hurt around the idea that our partner is doing something sexually behind our back. But it is a good place to start. Oftentimes what's going to happen if you finally do get your partner to confess is there's going to be a big apology and a lot of remorse. It'll be like, I'm so sorry, I'm never going to do it again. And if you have any conversations like that, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, whether it's with your kids or your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, that is probably the least trustworthy statement that anybody's ever made. I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, is a setup. It's a setup for both people involved because there's nothing for you to put your faith in there. Remorse has created very little change in the world. People actually need to be able to understand their behaviors, why they moved in this particular direction, and what an alternative path might look like, feel like, and how one would implement it. And if you're not able to actually have kind of a logical engagement around the topic with yourself and make plans for how you're going to deal with your feelings, because, you know, we are some very emotional creatures. And, of course, we're always sorry when we disappoint ourselves or violate our own standards or disappoint the person that loves us. Yeah, we're very sorry. But sorry does not create change. Being sorry is oftentimes just a setup to do it again. So if you really want to create change or you want to look to see if your partner is going in the direction of change, then you got to look for some tangibles. What are they doing? Are they learning some new behavior, you know? Have they shifted their attitudes? And if so, how? You know, because remorse, like I said, in fact, can create more of the same. Now, this is what happens, and actually this is a concept that comes from domestic violence. I know, this probably doesn't seem at all related to you that we go off talking about domestic violence when we're talking about cheating here. They're not the same thing. However, this particular psychological process is very similar. What it boils down to is that when you feel a lot of remorse about something, those feelings are really overwhelming and a lot of times lead to low self-esteem. It becomes a situation where you don't feel worthy and you feel like the lowest of lows. And a lot of times your partner's going to help you with this. If you've cheated on them and lied to them, the both of you are going to agree that on some level, you deserve to be punished over and over again for this indiscretion. And as you are being punished verbally by your partner. Over and over again, they remind you how much you have let them down, and you are apologizing over and over and over again, saying, I'm so sorry, you know, I don't know why I did it. Okay, well, stop right there, because I don't know why I did it means you're going to do it again. If you haven't figured out why you did it, how you got to that point, then you're pretty well doomed to repeat history. And if you're hearing these words from your partner, the best thing you can do is actually encourage your partner to stop feeling bad about it and start getting some more detailed information about themselves. You want to be introspective. You know, what is it that makes me do this? I had one client, he only came to see me one time. I found this guy really quite repugnant. And the reason I found him repugnant was because he had an amazing situation with his wife. It was an open marriage. He could have sex with anybody he wanted as long as he told her about it. That was the only agreement they had, was he had to tell her about it. And the week that he came to see me and paid me for sex as an escort, that week he had had a three-way with his wife and a beautiful woman that they had invited into their bedroom. And he was routinely having this kind of a lifestyle where he could have as many lovers as he wanted, and he was having multiple sexual partners with his wife, and then he and his wife were having really hot sex. And he was absolutely satisfied in every way, shape, and form possible, except for one. He wanted to have a sense of control. And the fact that she knew that he was having all this extracurricular sexual activity took the fun out of it for him. What he wanted to do was to do something behind her back, specifically. So there are a few guys and girls out there who specifically want to have sex behind their partner's back without their partner's approval or knowledge, simply because of the feeling of control that it gives them. And I would argue that that's not actually a sexual behavior. That's a control, behavior. That's somebody who's looking for ways to manipulate and control. And that usually comes out of low self-esteem, obviously. You don't feel very well about yourself, but if you can control your partner, that gives you kind of a perverse pleasure. So that's one. And the more common one that I found was really more of, it's a passive-aggressive thing. So not so much about controlling as it is about expressing one's displeasure with something in the relationship. I don't like the way this person makes me take the trash out, or I feel like they've undermined me in front of my kids. You know, when we're trying to discipline them together, they somehow or another usurp my authority and make me look foolish, and I feel like one of the kids. Or, like the women that I mentioned, I just had a baby, and I'm not feeling particularly attractive, and he's not making me feel attractive either, so I'm going to go get that feeling somewhere else. So actually that would be more about lack. So you got kind of three here. One, control issues. I want to do this behind your back because I want to control the relationship. Two, passive-aggressive. Usually unexpressed anger, unexpressed frustration, and it comes out in this dishonest cheating behavior. And then thirdly is there's something missing, something that's not happening here. So, you know, people are actually not having sex with their partners or not having the kind of sex that they really wanted to have with their partners, or not having the frequency of sex that they wanted to have with their partners. And that was the least frequent form of infidelity that I ever encountered. This idea that somehow or another men are going to prostitutes to have the kind of sex that they can't have with their wives and girlfriends, I found was mostly a myth. Mostly the wives and the girlfriends were kicking down some very kinky sex, oftentimes far more kinky sex than what you could get with a prostitute. And still the guys were paying for sex. And mostly what I saw was the passive-aggressive stuff. I'm unhappy, and I don't know how to tell you I'm unhappy. So I go and I do this thing because it's my way of letting you know that I'm angry with you, even though I'm not actually letting you know. So it's very interesting. And see, human beings have got some very convoluted thinking. I'm thinking, you know, what I could give you some strategies here and talk to you about what does and doesn't work. It doesn't work to attack your partner or accuse your partner or start off with the you. It's much more successful to say, I feel, you know, I feel afraid, I feel neglected, I feel, you know, jealous, I feel sad, I feel hurt. Those sort of things are much more authentic and much more likely to open up conversation. But what do you do with your own feelings? I mean, you know, aside from having a conversation with your partner, and this is perhaps the big mistake that most of us made, it's certainly the mistake I made in the context of my marriage, that I wanted to talk to him because somehow or another that would make me feel better. And most of life is an inside job. Most of life is something that we get to face with ourselves, by ourselves. So even though you're going to have to sit down and talk about infidelity or fears of infidelity with your partner, or you, you know, I guess you don't have to, but you increase the risk that you are going to become an unfaithful partner if you don't discuss your fears and your frustrations and your feelings. But before you discuss them, you really have to become acquainted with them. You really need to have that introspection and understand what's going on with you and how you feel. And, you know, you can work with a professional. You can work with me. I help people sort these sort of things out all the time, mostly over the phone. But occasionally, if you are living in this area, I can even do in-person sessions. Or you might get a therapist, a licensed therapist, which I'm not, and ask them to help you sort those sort of things out. You can go to support group. You might have a church group or a 12-step group that you go to for that kind of support. But whatever the case, you really should try to find some peace on with your feelings before you go talk to your partner. Otherwise, you're probably going to be really volatile, and that's not going to be fair to either one of you. Unless, of course, you just want the relationship to end. So it might be cathartic to blow up and yell and scream of our partner. I certainly did quite a bit of that with my husband when I found out he was cheating. I cried, I screamed, I yelled. I can't say any of it made me feel any better. What made me feel better is when I started working on why does this hurt so much? What's really going on for me? You know, and some of it came down to, I absolutely positively can't tolerate dishonesty in the context of a relationship. It's just not something I'm available for. But other portions of this really had to do with thinking that if my partner had an affair and lied to me about it, and I believed them, that somehow or another this made me a fool. This made me a stupid person. And I hope, if nothing else tonight, you can walk away with the knowledge that if your partner is able to fool you into thinking that they are being faithful to you when they're not, then you are just joining the rest of the human race, because most people have no clue when their partner is cheating. And it's been my experience that if your partner doesn't want you to know, you won't. So you can just give up on the whole idea that it's your responsibility to find your partner out and catch them in the act. And, you know, like we get that whole cheaters thing on TV. I mean, it's really communicating some very dysfunctional stuff there. It's not your job. Not your job to police your partner. And it's also not something that any of us is really going to be able to do. So you can just let go of that one. You don't have the power to control your partner. What you can do is control yourself. So if you think you might be getting ready to have an affair and that violates your standards, then, you know, you might want to look at what kind of frustrations you have. Unexpressed anger is a big reason that people have affairs. You know, what are you angry at your partner about? And the other thing you can do to try to safeguard your relationship so that it's more honest and open is to encourage communication from your partner as well about their frustrations, their fears, and their possible resentments. So if, you know, if your partner expresses some frustration and you just sweep it under the rug or don't have time for it, or if you ask them if there's something wrong, or is something wrong, you seem upset, and they say, no, nothing, and you know that's not true, but you're like, well, I don't want to deal with it. Well, you know, that's creating trouble for yourself down the road. So much, much better to go ahead and invite your partner to speak out and to express themselves and to do the same. And, of course, these sort of things take a certain amount of technique and practice to do without creating undue conflict. And that's actually something that I teach in my sessions over the telephone with my clients, is how to have these what I call problem-solving dates. And that's actually what I recommend, is that you have 20 minutes every week with your partner to sit down and problem-solve. And there's a very specific format that you can follow, very specific wording to help you get these new habits built of actually speaking in a way that's not going to create more conflict for the both of you. And I often recommend that you actually run a video camera while you're doing this, because nothing will make you more honest about your behavior, and try a little harder to follow, you know, the successful proven format and get to the real feelings instead of all the defensiveness that most of us put up. And, you know, we get so afraid. As human beings, we're just so afraid. We're always reacting and throwing stuff out there, trying to defend and deflect. And learning to communicate in a way that's honest and open and creates true intimacy takes practice. And you really have to learn that from somebody who knows how to do it. So anyway, if you are interested in learning how to do that, or if you have fears that your partner might be cheating on you, or if you are having an affair and you don't know how to tell your partner and you'd like to figure out how to do that, give me a call. My toll-free number is 888-903-0050. That's 888-903-0050, and I'm usually answering my phones 10 to 10, Monday through Friday. Until this Thursday at 8 p.m., I hope you enjoy the next couple days, and be sure and check back 8 p.m. Thursday for the debut of the Adult Channel here on BBS Radio. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.